Let's thank God. And bless him. We're here again. Father, we honor you. We bless you. We appreciate you for everything that you are to us. For all that you have done for us.
You've done so much for us.
We give you praise. We give you glory. You have taught us so much in this World War College. We give you praise. We thank you.
You have
fought so many battles for us.
Thank you for victory.
You have taught our hands to war and our fingers to fight.
Thank you for protecting all your evil works against us.
Blessed be your name, Lord.
We give you glory.
We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Father, thank you. We bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For all you have taught us thus far,
yes, Lord.
At the World College. We thank you, Lord, for the victories that you have given us.
Mm.
We thank you for the testimonies that have followed the video, the audio tapes that are on the blog as well as on YouTube. We thank you for showing yourself strong and showing yourself faithful to your word that you taught us to teach. Blessed be your name, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Today again we are here. Holy Spirit, take control.
Amen.
Take over, O Lord, and teach us what to do. What to teach the people.
Amen.
So that, if possible, the whole world will be set free,
yes,
from the clutches of Satan.
Yes.
Because that's why Jesus came. That we might be set free and saved from all our enemies.
Yes.
So that we can serve you in and from all our enemies and from the hands of those that hate us. So that we can serve you in quietness, we can serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives without fear.
Yes.
That is why Jesus came. And that is why we are teaching these things. Blessed be your name, Father.
Hallelujah.
We give you praise and glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We ask for a covering of the blood of Jesus all over us, all over our loved ones, wherever they might be. That you surround us with your blood. Surround us with your pillar of fire and cloud and your angels to minister to us. And to all those, we pray the same for everyone that will listen to the tapes, that your blood will surround them and guard them from counterattacks. Blessed be your name, Father.
Hallelujah.
We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So this is... mop-up operation part 2. Mop-up operation part 2. We have fought the main war and we are now mopping up and cleaning out our land of promises from anything that might still be hiding there. Amen.
Amen.
So the next topic is dealing with hidden enemies in close places. Hidden enemies in close places. In hidden places, they are hiding. The place where they are hiding is hidden. They want to hide. They want to make sure that you will not know that they are still there, so that they can continue to be shooting arrows at us, you know, so that we won't even know what else to do. We will now be saying, "Hey, but God, we thought we have done this." No. God has weapons that you smoke them out for us. And we find them in certain passages. Number one, hornets of the Lord. Exodus 23, Mama. Hornets of the Lord. H-O-R-N-E-T-S. A hornet is a bee. It's a kind of bee, which is longer than the ordinary tiny, tiny bees. You know that the bees, ordinary bees themselves, they are very deadly. If they give somebody many stings, the person can collapse just from, we'll call it anaphylactic attack. That is just out of reaction, you know, allergic reaction to the sting. It can kill anybody. And the stings are poisonous. But these hornets of the Lord, they are giant, poisonous, and dangerous bees capable of stinging a person to death. They say a few of them can sting a person to death. But here we are talking about spirit hornets against the spirit strong men and their hordes of demons that are being manipulated against us by human agents. Amen. Now God promised us, Exodus 23:28. What does it say, ma'am? 23:28.
And I will send hornets before thee.
Speak up, because we are recording.
And I will send hornets before thee.
Yes.
Which shall drive out the Hittite, the Canaanites, and the
Hittite from before thee. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So go to Deuteronomy 7. The same thing. It talks about them, that he will send hornets among them, and look for them where they're hiding. It's very difficult to hide from hornets. Yes. Deuteronomy 7:20. What does it say?
Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornets among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed.
So he will send his hornets to destroy them. So all we have to do, if you are having spiritual attacks, and you don't even have to wait till you have spiritual attacks, when you have prayed all these kind of prayers and you feel that there's still something hiding somewhere, Lord, whatever is hiding anywhere, release your hornets to go and find them and destroy them in Jesus' name. Remember when we're praying, when we're doing the prayers against Leviathan, what we used at that time, what God uses against Leviathan that is hiding is the serpent of the Lord. And we read it at that time in Amos 9. He said, I will search for you on top of the mountains. I will search for you in the holes of the ground. I will search for you even under the sea. I will send my serpent to search for you and slay you there. So God himself knows that sometimes they are hiding from us. Amen. Number two, God himself has some fishers and some hunters. They call them the fishers and hunters of God. Jeremiah 16:16-18. These will hunt for workers of iniquity that are hiding and bring their evil works to an end. All we want is that their evil works should come to an end. Whether you are the human agent or you are the strong man, God should just fish you out and disgrace you. You know, we talked about how they can just be slandering you from behind. That's the kind of work that this kind of weapons against hidden enemy in closed places. They can even be your pretending to be your friend. They are not hiding. They are just in closed places. They are just in hidden places. They can be in your household. They can be your best friend at work. But they are hiding in plain sight. When God begins to send the hornets against them, it will destroy the power that they are using, and it will release them from that assignment. Amen. Amen. So Jeremiah 16:16-18, what does it say?
Behold, I will send for many fishers, said the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after whom I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountains and from every hill and out of the coast of the rocks. For my eyes are upon all their ways.
Yes.
They are not hid from my face.
They are not hidden from God. Yes.
Neither is their iniquity hid from my eyes.
Yes.
And first I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double.
Yes.
Because they have defied my land. They have filled my inheritance with the
carcasses
of their detestable and abominable things.
Amen. Hallelujah. This is very important to pray in families. You see? Because some people, they can be pretending to be Christians, but at the back, you know, in the night, at the weekends, they know where they travel to go and make detestable and abominable things that God is talking about. And this defiles the land. It defiles the family. You only need one of such a person in your family tree, and the whole tree is in trouble. So we ask God, fish them out. Destroy their evil work. They have filled our family with their carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. Lord, destroy those, their works, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Number three weapon is the serpent of the Lord, which I've just spoken about. The serpent of the Lord. When they're hiding from you, anywhere, any part of creation, Amos 9, mama. Let's open it down. Where they're hiding from you, from any part of creation, you don't even know where the arrows are coming from. You just ask the serpent of the Lord. Ask the serpent God to release the serpent of the Lord to go and destroy all their works. Whether they are hiding in the mountains, in the holes, under the sea, we will locate them. Oh yeah. Amos 9, 1 to 3.
So the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the
lintel
of the door, that the post may shake. And put them in the head of
all of them.
And I will slay the mast of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away. And he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into her, then shall my hand take them through that land. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down.
Yes.
And though they hide themselves in the top of Mount Carmel,
yes.
I will search and take them
out thence.
And though they be hide from my
they
sight.
They be hid from my sight.
They be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea. Thence will I command the serpent, and he shall
bite them. Amen. So that's another. I always use this. As we said, we must always use this Amos 9 when we're dealing with Leviathan. Because you know, we told you that Leviathan likes to network. In fact, I think we read a passage in Jeremiah 47 which he talked about every helper that remaineth for Leviathan. He has helpers all over the place. And he talked about them in the land of the Philistines, in the land of the captor, and so on and so forth. You release the serpent of the Lord against them. You find them wherever they are hiding. Then the snakes, you know, they like to lay eggs. They may have some babies hiding somewhere, still hatching in their eggs. They may still have. You use this against them automatically. Don't wait until they hatch and come and start troubling you. Hallelujah. Now another major, that's all for enemies hiding in closed places. Another major topic is dealing with unrest, riot situations, marauders, protests, and so on and so forth. Dealing with unrest, riot situations, marauders, any people that come rushing to just be along the road, just they will say they are protesting. Before you know, they've started destroying cars, they've started destroying houses, so this is when you know. I use this a lot. Once some people say, yes, we are protesting against the government tomorrow. I'm not saying you should not protest against the government. But the government is not a person. And those people that always get harmed when there are protests are not the government. And so whenever we know that there's going to be a protest tomorrow, some people are rioting somewhere, this is what we will pray. And it's always good to pray it the night before, because the first weapon is the evening tide of the Lord. We're coming. If the evening tide of the Lord, and it comes up at midnight. It rises up at midnight, and it destroys, it will swallow all their works and destroy all their plans. Before morning, all their plans have been destroyed. I've seen it work many times. You'll just find that, that protest, they said they are protesting in Abuja. And only a few people came out. And immediately they saw the police, they started, and before you know it, a protest that they will tell you that they're going to protest till forever, it will just last 1 or 2 days and it will fizzle out. Because every evening we will pray and release the evening tide against them. When you have situations like the where you have insurgents that will just come rushing out at the people, come rushing out. I remember there was a cook I had, and she was from Ebonyi State, and they were having border clashes with another state. So they said from the other states they would just come rushing into their villages and start killing people. So I told them, we gave them this, and so tell them every night they must raise up the evening tide of the Lord. And at least in their own environment, that thing quenched. And they were not having so much of these marauders coming in to kill people. So let's find... So the first weapon against riots, unrest, any kind of protest situation which will just go out of hands. Sorry, Isaiah 17. It will just go out of hands. This is what... Now, while we are open. Now, so this first weapon, number one weapon, is the evening tide of the Lord. And it's like the evening tide that he raised against Pharaoh and his army, as reported in Exodus 14, 27. It says, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, and there remained not so much as one of them. Amen. Excuse me. Remember always Exodus 14, 27 and 28. Remember also, always, that we are dealing with the power behind these things. In fact, I have seen, before the end SARS started, I will see I will have revelations of going into houses, like abandoned houses in the jungle, and you see youths gathering. I didn't know what, I just knew they were going to protest. I saw youths gathering in groups, in different rooms. And they were gone. I was going around, looking at them. They've been planning that thing for a long time. But what we did, and we saw what happened with NSARS. So many lives were lost. The thing went on and on and on, was for 20 days. In fact, I almost lost one of my sons because he was sick and he couldn't go to hospital. He needed to be on a drip. He could not go out of his house, because these boys have blocked all the roads. So we should not think that, it's not that we Christians are saying people should not protest when they are dissatisfied with the government. But the problem is that your protest must not lead to the death of the innocent. And that is why we will pray this kind of prayer against them, so that the powers that the power that they're going to use must be curtailed. So that even if they're going to protest, because those powers that are pushing them are bloodthirsty demons. Mm. It's the powers behind that the bloodthirsty demons are looking for who to kill. We must never allow it to happen again in Jesus' name.
Mm.
So let's look at the evening tide of the Lord is spoken of in Isaiah 17 from 12 to 14. Let's look at it.
Woe to the multitude
of many people. That's a riot, isn't it? Yes?
Which make a noise, like the noise of the sea.
You know, when they are rioting, they're making noise, they are singing all sorts of solidarity songs. Yes?
And to the ocean of nations.
Yes?
That makes the ocean like the ocean of mighty
waters. Yes?
The nations shall rush like the ocean of many waters.
Yes.
For God shall rebuke them,
mm-hmm.
and they shall flee far off,
yes.
and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the winds,
yes.
and like the rolling things before the
whirlwind. Yes.
And behold, at evening tiding,
trouble,
and before the morning,
he is not. That means it has disappeared. It has fizzled out by morning. It has fizzled out. Yes.
This is the portion of them that spoil us,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them that
rob us. So what we are fighting against with these spiritual weapons is the power behind them that will lead to spoiling and robbery, you know, robbing our children, robbing houses. They can be robbing people on the streets just because they are protesting about school fees or about something, you know. So this is the one. And you can see that there are two weapons here, actually. The number one is in verse 13. That's the rebuke of the Lord. He said, the nation shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them and they shall flee afar off. So that's verse 13. You have the rebuke of the Lord. So the rebuke of the Lord shall chase them like the chaff of the mountains before with the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. So that's the first weapon in that passage. The second weapon is the evening tide in verse 14. By evening tide, they will have trouble. We don't know the kind of trouble it is. We leave it to God to do it himself. And by morning, all their plans to spoil and to rob and to plunder, in another translation, it says, they plunder us. Those that spoil us and plunder us and rob us. They rob us of the lives of our young children that are just on the street or just... So, in fact, children dare not go to school on such a day. So we do not take such a thing carelessly. We declare this word of the Lord and it will go forth and begin to take effect. Hallelujah. We used to use it a lot during the election time in Nigeria. Every night, we would decree, ask for the rebuke of the Lord. Because once they go for election and things are not going their own way, they start fighting. They start fighting and rioting. And we've been using this since 2014 consistently. And even reports will come at the end of the elections that, wow, we thought these elections would be very violent, but it is unprecedentedly peaceful. And we will just shake our heads that, yeah, it's the evening tide and the rebuke of the Lord that is at work. Bless. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, number two weapon for when we know there is going to be riots and protests and all that, even when you don't know, and you just hear that there's a riot, or they just started rioting somewhere, we will decree for this second one, angelic patrol to enforce the peace. We ask for angelic patrol to enforce the peace. And God has special angels for this. He has those that ride on horses. He has those that ride on horses and those that ride in chariots, war chariots with horses, and they will enforce the peace. They will make sure that the peace is enforced. Amen. Even when the riots have started, we can ask for angelic patrol to enforce the peace. We always pray this just before elections. We ask for God to release angelic patrol. So Zechariah 1:8-11.
I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the
metal trees
that were in the bottom. And behind him were their red horses, sparkling and white.
Speckled and white. Okay, so we have different different horses here, and there were angels riding on them. Red horses, speckled horses, and white horses. So an angel was showing Zechariah all these things. 9.
Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the
myrtle trees,
answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth.
So the Lord himself, L-O-R-D in capitals, the man of war, sent them to walk to and fro through the earth. Those are angelic patrol on horses. 11.
And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle's trees, and said, we have walked to and fro through the
earth.
And behold, all the earth
sitteth still
and is at rest.
Hallelujah. So we will ask the Lord and say, Lord, every night they must report to you that we have walked to and fro Nigeria. We have walked to and fro our nation. And our nation is sitting still and is at rest. Amen.
Amen.
Why is the nation sitting still and is at rest? Because anywhere they find trouble, they will quench it. Anywhere they find trouble, they will quench it. Amen. The peace of God is sometimes enforced by war. And that is what these angels do. So we pray, Lord, release these angels and let them quench every trouble that may be fueling anywhere. And let their report to you every night be that, behold, all Nigeria sitteth still and is at rest. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll finish praying. But the important thing is that you must quote those scriptures. As we said, we always quote scriptures because the Bible says, praise ye the Lord, ye angels of the Lord, that excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word, that do his bidding, hearkening to the voice of his word. So it means that immediately they hear the voice of the word of God that we are quoting, they are ready to go and do the bidding, depending on which kind of angels they are.
In which chapter?
Amen. I think it's in Psalm 148. It's somewhere in Psalm 148. Praise ye him, ye his angels, that excel in strength, hearkening to the voice of his word. Hallelujah. Now this the second set of patrol angels are spoken of in Zechariah 6:1-8.
And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains.
Yes.
And the mountains were mountains of brass.
Amen. Let me just explain that. Zechariah 6:1-8. Now, they told us they came from two mountains. They are not spiritual mountains. They are real mountains on this earth. And that's why they said, and the mountains were mountains of brass. Amen. That means mountains where you dig brass from. Those are not heavenly mountains. So Brass is an earthly metal. Verse 2.
In the first chariot to me.
So they will come from heaven, coming down between mountains, and Zechariah was looking at them. Yes?
In the first chariot were red horses.
Horses, yes.
And in the second chariot, black horses.
So there were chariots with red horses, second chariot with black horses, yes?
And in the third chariot, white horses.
White horses.
And
so
in
yes, in the fourth.
In the fourth chariot,
grizzled.
Grizzled and pale
horses. That means they were mixed color and grayish color, yes?
Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth.
Remember always that our God is a man of war. God is not a civilian. And he controls armies. Listen, he can even control your own army. There's a time in the time of a very good king, King Josiah. God told Pharaoh from the south, he said, pass through and go to Syria in the north and go and conquer them for me. And Josiah said, oh, you can't pass through Israel and go and fight our enemies, our friends. These are our allies. And the Pharaoh was telling Josiah, he said, is it not the same God of heaven that said I should go and fight the Assyrians? He said, don't stand in my way, excuse me, because it is the God of heaven that have sent me. Excuse me. So our God is in charge and he can use any army. But these are spirit armies. That's why he said they are spirits. All these are spirits in chariots and horses. But we know that the spiritual world controls the physical, isn't it? So they are sent from heaven. And what happened? Verse 6.
The black horses.
So they came from standing before the Lord of the earth. So he's the one that sent them forth as the commander. He said, go forth. And what did he tell them?
The 6. Black horses, which are daring, go forth into the north.
North country. Okay. So the black horses are to go. That is their assignment. Is the north country. Yes.
And the white go forth
after them. So two sets out of four horses went to the north. Yes.
And
seven. Yes.
And the grizzled goes forth
to the south country. So the grizzled, only one set of horses was sent to the south country. Have you noticed that in most countries, a lot of unrest happens in the north? It's usually the north. North Sudan, South Sudan, Northern Nigeria, Southern Nigeria. It's usually the north. So two sets of horses on chariots were sent to the north, and only one set was sent to the south. Yes, seven.
And the people went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro to the earth. And he said, get you hence.
Yes.
Walk to and fro through the earth. So they walked to and fro through the earth.
Amen. Let me just explain that. So we have two sets of horses going to the north, one set of horses going to the south, and the fourth set. You know, there are four chariots, four different types of chariots. The fourth ones were to now just be patrolling. Or whether north, south, east, west, were just to be patrolling. So what then happened? Verse 8. So this is the report. At the end of the day, what happened?
Then cried he upon me.
Yes.
And spake unto me,
saying,
behold, these that go towards the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country.
That means they have given my spirit rest another translation says that I have this. There's always trouble in the north. Okay, now that we've sent two, now my spirit is quieted, that there will be peace in the north country. Hallelujah. We used to pray this for Nigeria over and over and over. Sometimes I'll post it on Facebook. Oh yeah, let's ask for angelic assistance. We must insist. We pray and say, Lord, let your these warrior angels go and quench every spirit of disorderliness, every spirit of civil disobedience, every bloodthirsty spirit. They must be quenched so that we will have peace in our nation. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in the end, we cannot finish talking about spiritual warfare without talking about counterattacks. What dealing with counterattacks? Beloved, if you attack the devil, he will attack you back. He will not even remember that he started it. That he's the one who first came and attacked you. That you are quietly doing what God asked you to do, and he came to attack you, came to attack your children, came to attack your finances, attacked your body, attacked your promises of God. Now, when you now begin to attack him back, the kind of attack he will give back to you will depend on the kind of weapons that you used. If you are using catapult, he will just laugh at you. He may not even answer you, say, is that all? But if you now bring AK-47 and you bring cannonballs, cannon shooters, and you bring he too is going to come at you. Because Jesus Christ has already told us that he is an armed strong man. Luke 11:21. He said, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. You can imagine all those goods that he stole from us. He's watching over them with arms, with weapons of war. So you have gone against him and with your own weapons of war, and he is guarding his stronghold to make sure that you don't come in and take what he has stolen from you. So if you come at him, he's going to resist you by all means. And if you take anything and run off, he's going to pursue you. Remember last week, we looked at the case of Pharaoh that pursued the children of Israel, even after they had escaped, pursued them with his whole army. But we have the superior power of our God, the Most High God, El Gibor, the man of war, the champion. We have his superior power, his superior weapons. And remember always that we have 2/3 of the angels working for us against the 1/3 of angels that fell. So, of course, we are the superior army. And we were sent forth by the captain of our salvation to go and set the captives free. So, since he's the one that sent us, everything that he has will be at our disposal to fight. But they will come looking for you. Because you have put him to open shame, like the children of Israel. They put Pharaoh and his to open shame, and he will not take it lightly. He must come fighting us. Remember Elijah on Mount Moriah, after he has displayed that all power belongs to God, and the God that answered by fire, he displayed his power that day, because the prophets of Baal, they used to call down fire, but that day God showed them who created fire, and he withheld fire. Fire did not fall. And when fire would fall for Elijah, fire fell on an offering that has been drenched in water. And the fire licked up all the water and the remaining water, showing very clearly that all power belongs to our God. So you must be ready for counter attacks, and you must. What I do is to preempt them. Now, when we've done all manner of spiritual warfare, we will now pray against counter attack, and that's what we want to learn right now. Hallelujah. Remember that the day after that, when Jezebel heard that what happened at Mount Moriah, let me read it for you. When Jezebel heard that Elijah has slew all her prophets, 850 of them, and that he disgraced her prophets of Baal, that fire did not fall, what? Ahab went and told the wife, Jezebel. 1 Kings 19, 1 and 2. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. 1 Kings 19, 1 and 2. Now, they didn't tell us that Elijah waited to see what he would do. The Bible says that Elijah fled for his life. You can imagine somebody who could face 850 prophets of Baal. One little woman. But he knew the power behind her. He knew that the power behind her is the power that later came to be known by her name. And that is Jezebel. They call her the false prophet. They call her all manner of names. We have studied Jezebel before. The daughter of Chaldeans. So, Elijah fled for his life. He didn't wait. Now, there's also another case which we will look at, counterattack in scripture. When Elijah sent to King Ahaziah, 2 Kings chapter 1. King Ahaziah was ill, and he sent to them, to the gods of the Ekron, that they should go and find out if he will live. In fact, they should come and heal him. So God sent Elijah to go and tell him that, tell Ahaziah. Excuse me. I'm just recovering from the flu. He said, go and tell Ahaziah, thus says the Lord, that is it that there is no God in Israel that you are sending to the God of the Ekron to come and to find out whether you will to look for healing? He said, you will never recover from them. Thus says the Lord, you will never recover, you will die. The king was so furious that he sent captains of 53. He sent an avenging captain with 50 soldiers to go and arrest just one little prophet. Just one Elijah. And maybe Elisha was following him there. But this time Elijah did not fall. He did not run away. He sat on the mountain and they said, come down. Thou man of God, come down. And he said, I will not come down. You call me a man of God? Oh, great. If I be a man of God, let fire come down and consume you all. And that's what happened. Fire came down and consumed them all. The captain, the first two captain and his 50 soldiers. That means 51 plus 51. That's 102. So the third one knew that all this is in chapter 2 Kings chapter 1. So all this. So this the third captain and his 50 had learnt his lesson. When he came, he didn't shout at Elijah. He called him my father. Let my life be very, very precious to you. But this is what the king sent me. So Elijah said, okay, well, you give me my respect. I'll go with you. Hallelujah. So this is what we must always be ready. We must not let them come. Be ready that there is going to be counterattack. Do not wait for them to come. Take the battle to their gates. Remember that scripture, Isaiah 28, we are always quoting. Take the battle to the gates of the avenger. Because God has promised us that if we are ready to do that, He will give us the power to have to gain victory over them. They don't need to get to your gates. So immediately after we do all this, we always pray against counterattack. Isaiah 28, 5 and 6. Isaiah 28, 5 and 6. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty. A diadem is half a crown, the one that's only in front, unto the residue of the people. You see, it's only a residue of the people that God knows can do this kind of war. And for a spirit of judgment to him that seated in judgment. So before they come with the avenging angels, you are judging them where they're taking that decision, in their gate. He said, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. So before the battle leaves their gate, the gate of the avenging captain, we will release fire there. We will not wait for them to come. We release fire there. Hallelujah. So after every hot and strategic battles, when we know that, yes, you yourself will know, you are satisfied, yes, I have prayed that prayer, yes, I have released real missiles that they cannot escape, you now begin to pray. Let's pray. My Father, my Father.
My father.
The man of war.
The
divine champion.
El Gibor.
El Elyon.
The
Most High God.
The
creator and possessor. Of heaven and earth. Blessed be your name, Lord. I return all the glory to you. For this victory that I know you have given me. For you are the one who taught my hands to war, and my fingers to fight. And you have never lost any battle. You are the one who empowered me to run through this evil troop that came against me and my family. And I know you have given me victory. Blessed be your holy name. Lord Jesus, I ask you now to place your bloodline
around
me and my household,
around
my children,
my
loved ones, wherever they are, to the four corners of the Holy of the world. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to be a pillar of fire and cloud,
to
separate us from any pursuing Pharaoh, as you did at the Red Sea, so that you are darkness to the enemy, and you will be light to us. Let our lives be hidden in Christ, who is hidden in God. Make us as the wind that cannot be seen or traced. In the name of Jesus. Now hear me well. You are avenging captain and your 50.
You are avenging captain and your 50.
Getting ready to come and attack me and all mine.
Getting ready to come and attack me and all mine.
I turn this battle to your gates. Right now.
Right now.
I ask you, my heavenly Father.
I ask you, my heavenly Father.
That God that answered by Elijah by fire. On Mount Carmel.
On Mount Carmel.
Release hailstones. And coals of fire.
And coals of fire.
Into the camp of the captain and the 50.
Into the camp of the captain and the 50.
Assigned to attack me.
Assigned to attack me.
And consume them all.
And consume them all.
With all their weapons.
With all their weapons.
And all their armor.
In
the name of Jesus,
let me and all mine
escape,
and
let your name alone be glorified. In the name of Jesus, blessed be your name, Lord. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we've said it at some point that the night before a prophetic journey, we're still going to talk about how to do prophetic actions. The night before, you take the Passover. And usually on days when I do spiritual warfare, when I teach like this, I will take the Passover at night. In fact, one of the girls that taught me in Ghana when I was there, and I used to go and teach, and I would come back and take the Passover, and sometimes I would still come under attack. So she now said, oh, Mama, why not take the Passover the night before? You see, the night before you have to go and teach. Or you have to go and do a prophetic, a warfare prayer program. You take the Passover to seal ourselves against counterattack. So that the prophetic blood of the Passover lamb will cover over us as it did at the... as it did at the at Passover night in Egypt, when the destroyer was passing, but the blood protected the children of Israel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. There are many more weapons that you can look for. You can search the scriptures. In some places, you find so many weapons in one scripture, like Isaiah 30. I was looking at it the other day. I just gave the scriptures. We didn't read it. I wish we had read it. Isaiah 30 from 22 down to the end. You will find so many. It's like seven in those few scriptures. In those few scriptures. There's another one. There's another place where another weapon that is called the Bezom of Destruction. That is a broom of destruction. It's a broom of the Lord. You can release it against covens and say, Lord, sweep them all out of that place where they are talking about me, where they are taking decisions. Release your bezom of destruction to destroy that coven. Sweep it clean of all their altars. Let all their structures, let it be swept into the abyss to be destroyed by the fire of God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's, of course, there's a weapon we used, the sieve of vanity. it's in Isaiah 2, the sieve of vanity. We once used it. One of my nieces, she had waited to get married for so long, and she just couldn't wait anymore. And, of course, it was a good time for the son of an imam, very wealthy. She, too, is from a wealthy home. To come, and he wanted to marry her, and he said, no, from worshiping her God. I just want to marry her. I love her. I must marry her. So my cousin came weeping, and I said, what happened? He said, my child, can you imagine me, a mother in Israel, my child wants to marry the son of an imam, the chief imam of somewhere in the north. Hey! So I said, don't cry. We're going to release against him the sieve of vanity. Talked about the sieve of vanity and a brittle in the jaws, making somebody to make unpardonable error. You are going to be like the Berean Christians and look for it. Google it. Sieve of vanity. You'll find it. So we released it took 9 months. They had done all the arrangements because the girl's father was a Muslim, and the man now went to the father, and the father accepted him. He was bringing gifts and doing all manner of things. We didn't say anything. We said, we have prayed. My cousin will weep and say, we have prayed. We kept on releasing the sieve of vanity and the bridle of the Lord into his jaws to make him commit an unpardonable error. So they had done all the arrangements, and it was now 9 months later. The introduction and the traditional wedding was going to be on a Saturday. And the mother said, okay, I will come, but I will bring some pastors. And that was when the sieve of vanity and the bridle of the Lord came in, kicked in. And this man said, no pastor will be there, because it's actually going to be a Nikai. It's going to be, you know, their own kind of wedding. No pastor can be there. So we said, but we thought it was just going to be a Yoruba traditional wedding. They said, no pastor can be there. This was the week before. It was going to happen on Saturday. By that time, my niece was hardly talking to the mother. Immediately she heard that, the next morning she went to her mother's room early in the morning. Co, knock on the door. Yes, my daughter, what is it? He said, I'm not marrying that man again. I'm not marrying that man again. If you will not allow pastors at my wedding, at my traditional wedding, it means that he's lying. He will not let me worship my God. And I cannot have that. Hallelujah. Amen. Within like 2 years, she was married to a fine Christian. And they, even though she thought she was even too old to have children, they had twins. Mm-hmm. One boy, one girl. So that's all. She doesn't need more than that. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord has not left us comfortless.
Yes.
He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Blessed be God forever.
Hallelujah.
Let's thank God and bless him. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you for all you have taught us. That even after the war, you will not leave us comfortless. Even after the war, you will seek out the enemies wherever they are hiding. You yourself, you deal with them with your hornets. You deal with them with your whirlwind. You will do it. You will do it, Lord, because we are your children. So that we can serve you. We can settle down in our land of promises and serve you all the days of our lives without fear, so that we can come and reign with you in heaven without falling. Blessed be your name, Lord. We give you praise and glory. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.